This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Okay, Bismillah. Let's start with Hadith 5. Firstly, we're going to look at the importance of this Hadith. This is the Hadith about innovations. Very, very important Hadith. Al-Imam Ahmad said, مدار الإسلام على ثلاثة أحاديث. The whole religion revolves around three Ahadith. The first was إنما الأعمال بالنيات. We've taken that. The second he mentioned is this hadith, hadith 5 of Al-Arba'in Nawawiyyah. And the third was hadith 6, which we're going to take at the beginning of next term. That quote is in the beginning of this book. If you recall, when we took the first hadith, Al-Imam Ahmad said the whole religion revolves around three Ahadith. This is the second hadith that the whole religion revolves around. So, importance of this hadith. We're going to look at that. Then we're going to look at a very important principle regarding our religion, our deen, and our worldly affairs, our dunya. And lastly, what constitutes an act of worship from bid'ah? What constitutes an act of worship, ibadah, from bid'ah, from innovation? We're going to look at those conditions, inshallah ta'ala. Actually, we're going to also mention something else, which is the respect of the Prophet ﷺ's family, but we'll take that as we go. Hadith 5. This hadith is narrated by who? Aisha, the mother of the believers. عن أم المؤمنين أم عبد الله عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من أحدث في أمرنا هذا ما ليس منه فهو رد رواه البخاري ومسلم وفي رواية لمسلم من عمل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا فهو رد. It is narrated on the authority of the mother of the believers, Umm Abdullah Aisha رضي الله عنها, that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, whoever introduces into this affair, what affair? Islam. Whoever introduces into this affair of ours something does not belong to it, it is rejected. And in the narration, the version according to Muslim, it says, whoever does a deed. It says in your notes, whoever works a work. But change it to whoever does a deed. That doesn't make sense. Whoever does a deed which has for it no command of ours, there's no dalil, it is rejected. This hadith is narrated by Aisha, and one of her other names, her kunya, is Ummu Abdullah. What does Ummu Abdullah mean? Mother of Abdullah. Did she have a child named Abdullah? There's difference of opinion. Let us ta'jilu. Then hasten. There's difference of opinion. Some say she did and that child died young. Others say no. Doesn't really concern us. She is named Ummu Abdullah Azob. She's also called Ummu al-Mu'mineen. Why? Firstly, what does Ummu al-Mu'mineen mean? Mother of the believers. Why is she called that? The Azwaj of the Prophet ﷺ are all called Ummuhat al-Mu'mineen. So she was a wife of Rasulullah. Therefore, was she from his household? She was. She was from Ahlul Bayt. But Shia, they say, we love Ahlul Bayt, yet they curse Aisha. Contradiction. How can you love Ahlul Bayt and curse literally the members of the Bayt, the household? Doesn't make sense. Contradiction. It just shows you once again that they're nothing but lies. Anyway, we show respect to her like we show to all of Ahlul Bayt and all the wives of the Prophet ﷺ. We speak about them in utmost respect because they are from the household of Rasulullah. That's number one. Notice also, what did she say? She said, قال رسول الله. Isn't Rasulullah her husband? But never ever do you find the wives, when they're narrating a hadith, they say, my husband said. My man says. My hubby. No. They had so much respect for him that the wives ended up calling him, Ya Rasulullah. Even when they're speaking to him in the house, Ya Rasulullah. Look at the respect Allah Azza wa Jal put. Even his close family members, his close mates, his buddies would say, Ya Rasulullah. Like Abu Bakr, he was his friend before Prophethood. But he would say, Ya Rasulullah. Because Allah never said, Ya Muhammad in the Quran. Never. So if Allah didn't say, Ya Muhammad, who am I to say, Ya Muhammad? Subhanallah. So that's the respect that the Prophet ﷺ's family had for him and the respect that we show towards the family of the Messenger of Allah. Man أحدث في أمرنا هذا. He didn't say man ahdatha and left it open. No, fi amrina, in our religion, this hadith shows us you're not allowed to invent matters in this religion, in Islam. Why? Because Islam is perfect. If you've got a full bottle, 100% full, what happens when you add extra fluid? What's on the inside is going to come out. It's going to overflow. And likewise with Islam. Islam's perfect, 100%. When you add things, what's going to happen? You're going to take out from the pure Sharia. Therefore, we do not invent. And whoever introduces affairs into the religion, I'm not talking about worldly matters, into the religion, that's an insult to the Messenger of Allah. Why? Because you're saying, indirectly, I know better. Rasulullah didn't tell you about this, but hey, let me tell you what you should do. Therefore, how important is this hadith? Let's discuss this now, the first objective, the importance of this hadith. That's number one. Islam is perfect, 100%. Therefore, when the ayah was revealed, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum. Today I've perfected your religion. It's perfect. Abu Bakr began to cry. Why? Because he knew, you've reached the top, 100%. When you reach the peak, what's going to happen next? He said, after perfection, there's only imperfection. He knew after the death of Rasulullah, we're going down. And that's exactly what happened. You find the further we drift away from the time of the Prophet ﷺ, the weaker the ummah gets. The distant we become from hidayah and guidance. Therefore, the best way was which way? The way of Rasulullah and the Sahaba. That first generation is the best. The first 100 years of Al-Islam. Because there's a hadith for that. Who knows it? Khairul Qurun Qarni. Ahsant, Ya Salim. The best of generations is my generation. The best. Khair. Khairul Qurun Qarni. Then, ثُمَّ لَذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. Then the next two after that. In other words, the first 300 years, they're the best. They're the best. When people tell you, don't follow their way, follow these ways of today, the modern invented ways, no, rubbish. They're only trying to deceive you. Therefore, the modernists and so forth, they're only taking you away from the true way of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Sahaba. Therefore, we go back to their way. Al-Imam Malik said, nothing will rectify the latter part of this ummah except that which rectified the former part. When you have problems in the ummah, if you want to reform it, you want to rectify it, what do? You rectify the way the Sahaba rectified things, the way the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam rectified things. That's the answer. When people try to move you away from that way, no, that's a sign that person has a deviant or corrupted belief or a misguided belief, or maybe they don't know. Therefore, we should teach them. And it goes on to mention in your notes, this hadith is used as a criterion for judging external actions, whereas إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ, as we said it's connected to, is about internal actions. So see how important this hadith is? And it goes on to mention, as we've discussed earlier, for all deeds to be accepted. Acceptance of deeds. It's based on two conditions. What are they? Firstly, niyyah. Ahsan. Someone else said that, I think. Your niyyah. Pure intention for the sake of Allah. If you don't have a pure intention initially for the sake of Allah, it's rejected. If you recall, we've discussed that. What's the second condition? Ya Abu Bakr? You said it. According to the Sunnah. If you want your deed to be accepted, has to be according to the Sunnah and the Sharia of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One of the two is not enough. You can have a great intention, but the action is corrupt. It's wrong. Like innovations of today, whether it's Mawlid al-Nabi, the birthday of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or other invented ways where people say the only way you can get married is if you recite Al-Fatiha, or to recite Surah Yaseen over the dead. No. These are newly invented ways. But they say, wait a minute, there's a hadith for that. لَقِنُوا Surah Yaseen عَلَى مَوْتَاكُمْ. Have you heard that? They'll say that. But however, what's the meaning? There's another hadith that gives us the meaning. Rasulullah said, لَقِنُوا مَوْتَاكُمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Encourage your dying to say لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. The word مَوْتَاكُمْ doesn't mean dead. It means dying. In other words, when do you encourage them to say it? While they are dying or after they died? While. No point after the guy's dead saying, say la ilaha illallah. There's no point, he's dead. Mawtakum here means you're dying, not dead. So the same hadith about reciting Surah Yaseen, laqinu Surah Yaseen, aw iqra'u Surah Yaseen ala mawtakum, means dying, not dead. while they are dying, as Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen said, if this hadith is sahih, if it's sahih, if it's authentic, then it means while they're dying, not while they are dead. Therefore, we don't innovate in the religion. When someone passes away, do what Rasulullah told us to do. Make dua for him. But to gather all of us as a group and start reciting Quran, no. There's no basis for that. No basis for that. Not as a group, anyway. So that's how important this hadith is. If you want your deeds to be accepted, Habibi, then you have to follow the sunnah. Follow the sunnah. So that's the importance of this hadith, and that's found in the shahada. How are those two conditions found in the shahada? Every time you say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad al-Rasulullah, it has that meaning included. For example, La ilaha illallah, purely for Allah's sake. That's the first part of the shahada. Muhammad, Rasulullah, following the sunnah of Rasulullah. So those two conditions are implied in the shahada. Let's go on to the next page. There are many other adilla to show how important this hadith is, but we're not going to get into all that. I'll leave it for you to read, inshallah ta'ala. Now, next part. It's not in your notes, so I wanted you to write this down. A very, very important principle. Second objective of this lesson is a very, very important principle regarding our deen and our dunya. I'll summarize the whole lesson for you. Basically, all acts of worship are haram, forbidden to perform. You can't do any act of worship except if you have what? Dalil, evidence. No act of worship is allowed. To do an act of worship, you need dalil for. Therefore, if you see someone doing something weird, dancing all night, party hardy in Mawlid al-Nabi, you go, what are you doing this for? So, to get closer to Allah. Say, where's your dalil? He'll say, no, you have to bring me dalil that you're not allowed to do it. No, the onus is on him. Anyone performing an act of worship, the onus is on them to bring evidence, not the other way around. Because it's called tawqifiyya. The ibadat are tawqifiyya. Meaning, they're restricted. You can't perform any act of worship unless you have dalil. You can't say, oh, today I'm feeling energetic. I want to pray fajr as 4 rak'at instead of 2. Can you do that? No. So you have to, instead of reciting al-Fatiha in the first rak'ah, I'll just emit it and I'll just recite al-Baqarah. There's more rewards there. No. Goodness is not what we think. It's what the Sharia thinks. So all acts of worship are haram except what the Sharia has allowed. The affairs of the dunya are the exact opposite. All matters of the dunya, worldly affairs, are halal, permissible, except what the Sharia forbade you from, said no to. In other words, you can drink what you want, Coke, V, coffee, tea, except keep away from, for example, what? Alcohol, intoxicants, khamr. Eat what you want, fruit, yogurt, different types of vegetables. Keep away from pig, ham, meat not slaughtered according to the Sharia, for example. And this is the easiness of the religion. This is from the ease Allah Azza wa Jalla wants from us. He made the whole dunya open for us and then he restricted a little bit. Allah Ta'ala made things easy. And inshallah Ta'ala will continue with his very important principle after the salah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. So let's continue with that very important principle. What is it, my brothers? Correct. All acts of worship are forbidden to perform, except that which you have evidence for. In other words, don't act unless you know. That's why Iqra came before Qum. Before you stand up in prayer, Qum illayla illa qalila. The first command was Iqra, read, seek knowledge. Seek knowledge, then act. Unfortunately, today it's Let's act, let's worship, and then we'll seek knowledge later, when I've got time. Let's give da'wah and do everything else. When I've got time, I'll seek knowledge. No, seek knowledge is a priority. However, was it? Where?
We just got Ali.
MashaAllah, good. Huh? All worldly matters are permissible. For example, you can wear what you want. You can wear a blue jumper, brown jumper, black jumper. You can wear blue pants. You can wear grey pants, you can wear a suit, you can wear whatever you want, but avoid what Rasulullah told you to avoid. Avoid wearing what Rasulullah told you to avoid wearing, such as, for the men, silk and
gold.
Gold
or silver?
No, silver's fine.
Just the ring, oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but gold, yeah. Avoid silk for the men, gold for the men. That's what men cannot wear. Women, okay. So worldly matters are permissible, except that which the Sharia forbade. Listen to this beautiful ayah regarding all worldly matters are permissible. Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha an-nas, O mankind, kulu mimma fil ardi halalan tayyiba. In the whole earth, mimma fil ard, in the entire earth, eat that which is halalan tayyiba. Halal, pure, permissible, etc. The whole earth. However, what? وَلَا تَتَّبِعُ خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Don't follow the footsteps of the shaitan. In other words, with the many miles of the dunya, Allah only made a few footsteps haram. SubhanAllah, look at the ease. Look at the religion of Al-Islam. Look how it facilitates life for us. Don't listen to those people who say, you want to make things hard. No, look at this beautiful ayah. Rather, they are the ones making things hard. So these are just labels from the people. The ayahs in Surah Al-Baqarah. Beautiful ayah. So that's that very, very important principle regarding our deen and our dunya. Summarizes it for you. Now finally, what constitutes as an act of worship? For an act of worship to be considered part of the Sharia, it must meet and agree with six conditions. These six conditions are in your notes. Let's go to that now. Where it says number one, time. That's the first condition.
Six or five?
There's five in your notes. We're going to add one. Six. We're going to add one. The ibadah has to be in accordance with the correct time. That's the first condition. Give me an example, my brothers. Salah, ahsant. Salah is done in its time. Let's just say Maghrib, as we just prayed now, is 7:05. You can't pray Maghrib at 5:05. Yalla, I'll get it out of the way, so I've got a free night. You wake up at Fajr, yalla, let's pray all the prayers in one hit, so I've got the rest of the day ahead of me. I don't have to worry about the prayer anymore. No, the prayer, it's done on its time. Inna salata kanat. Who knows the ayah? Kitaban mawquta. Mawqut from waqt. Mawqut from waqt. وقت الله الصلاة جعل للصلاة وقتا محددا. Meaning, Allah placed a specific time for the salah. Another example of an act of worship that has to be done with its time is صوم رمضان. It has to be done in Ramadan. What month is the month of Ramadan in? Number nine.
April.
Is the ninth Islamic month. Okay. You can't fast Ramadan in Sha'ban or Shawwal or Muharram. It has to be done in Ramadan, the ninth month of the Islamic calendar. Also Hajj, when's that performed? It says it in your notes.
Dhul-Hijjah.
Ahsant, Dhul-Hijjah. What days? First 8 10. Till?
10.
We're not talking about the virtues of the first 10 days. We're just talking about when is Hajj performed? 8 to 12 of Dhul-Hijjah. So that's the first condition. What constitutes an act of worship? In the Sharia, number one, time. There are five conditions in your notes. We're going to add one. These are mentioned by the ulama based on ayat, a hadith, and namely, Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, he mentioned this as well, and he sharh of al-arba'in nawiyya, and he mentioned the sixth condition. Let's go on to condition two. What is it, my brothers? Place. For an act of worship to be considered part of the Sharia has to be done in the correct place. Give me an example. Ahsant. We don't pray in places the Prophet ﷺ forbade us from, like the toilets, like graveyards, like slaughterhouses. It's forbidden to pray there. What else? Another example. Hajj. You don't perform Hajj like the Shia do. You go to Karbala. You go around the graves. No. You know when the son of Ali radiallahu anhu heard about Karbala and the fitna that happened there? He said, Karbala. Yes, Karbala. He said, this word is made of the word Karb and Bala. Karb means a calamity. Karb. And Bala means a calamity. Calamities upon calamities. That's what Karbala means. Calamities upon calamities, masaib on masaib. The son of Ali radiallahu anhu. Either Al-Hassan or Al-Hussein, one of them. In other words, it's calamity squared. SubhanAllah. That's what Karbala means. And that's exactly what it is, that place. Also, i'tikaf. Allah Ta'ala says, wa antum aakifuna fil masajid. You can't perform i'tikaf at home, Habibi. You set up camp and you got the tent, popcorn, got the TV. Yalla, i'tikaf, cuz. No, i'tikaf is done in the masjid. You're not allowed to do i'tikaf anywhere else. You can't perform i'tikaf at a hall, community hall. There's no prayers there whatsoever. You can't perform i'tikaf at a school, library, no. Now, the question is, what constitutes a masjid? Very easy.
Five daily prayers.
Five daily prayers. Now, with Friday, it's extra. It's considered al-masjid al-kabir. As long as you've just got 5 daily prayers, that's a bare minimum, it's considered a masjid. Third condition for an act of worship to be considered part of the Sharia? Quantity. Do you want the Arabic words for these? Okay. Time is called zaman here. First was zaman. Place?
Makan.
Ahsant. Makan. Quantity? Qadr al-shay, the amount, the quantity. So the qadr al-shay is the amount, the quantity. Give me an example. Salah, another example, very easy. Fajr is 2, you can't pray 4. Maghrib is 3, you can't pray 4. For example, the tasabih, the reward for this specific tasabih after the salah is how many times each? 33. Now the hadith about 34 is for the evening. Don't get it confused. There's a hadith that says 34. You say subhanAllah 33 times, alhamdulillah 33 times, and Allahu Akbar 34 times. That's before you sleep. However, after the salah, it's 33 for each. And there's another narration that says 10 for each. You can't go make each one 63. You can't go change the number. There's an amount and quantity that is specified by Allah and His Messenger. You leave it at that. Also the tawaf. How many ashwat?
Seven.
Not 70. You're feeling like you're pumped today. Allahu Akbar. Or 14, double it. Yeah, I want double the rewards. I want to get 2 hajjas in one, bro. I'll do double of everything. No. You have to stick to it. Otherwise, it's a bid'ah. And alhamdulillah for these rules, for these conditions. Otherwise, there'll be a mashakkal in this whole religion. Everyone will do what they want. This guy's praying this way, this guy's praying that way, this guy's praying that way. Like the Shia, exactly. Have you seen that photo? Where they're all praying, all in different directions? They have no qibla. That's why the muwahhid is considered from Ahlul Qibla. He has one qibla, one way, one prophet, one Lord, one book, one unity. That's how important unity is, my brothers in al-Islam. All the pillars of Islam show the unity. Shahada, you take it, you're part of this one single global ummah. Salah, we pray together, unity. Zakah, it's given to the needy, connecting us with them, unity. Siyam, we fast together, break our fast together, unity. Hajj, believers around the world all come together, various skin colors, nationalities, backgrounds, all coming together to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla. Unity. 4. Way. Way, ahsant. Or you could also say howness in English. Kayfiyya. When you say kayfa haluka, what does kayf mean?
How.
So the howness, the kayfiyya, is the way something is done. For example, salah again. You can't go into the sujood before ruku'. No, ruku' is first, then sujood. Wudu. You don't go with your, you don't start with your feet, and then your head, then your arms, then your face. No, the tartib, order, the howness. If Rasulullah did it this way, we do it that way. The way and the howness. Also, it mentions in your notes, Salatul Janazah. In Salatul Janazah, the funeral prayer, is there ruku' and sujood? No. So you don't go adding that. That's a bid'ah. You may, so now one brother will say, man, that guy was really bad, bro. I think I have to give him a sajda just for him. Yallah, let's go down. Extra worship so we can ask Allah to forgive him. No. Don't add. Also, the jamarat, the throwing of the stones at the jamarat. They're small pebbles. Allah, some guy wants to come with a big boulder. La'anatullahi ala shaitan. Kills the guy in front of him. Allahumma musta'an. Follow the sunnah and the sharia according to the way we have been taught. Rasulullah said, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Pray as you've seen me pray. Therefore, we can derive something else from that hadith. Who had that? Ahsan, dhikr as well. You don't perform dhikr like how some people do. They turn off the lights, they all dance around. Some people may say, what's wrong with that? But as we said, it's an insult to Rasulullah. And the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا هَذَا مَا لَيْسَ مِنْهُ فَهُوَ رَدْ. It's rad. Rad here means mardood. The Prophet ﷺ used the masdar of the word. And you can use the masdar at times to describe ismul maf'ul in Arabic. Rad means mardood, rejected. I was going to mention something else, subhanAllah, about that. But Allah may come to me, bi'idhnillah. So the way, the howness. Oh yes, that hadith. Rasulullah said, pray as you've seen me pray. He didn't say, oh, men pray like this, women pray like this. Therefore, by default, the basic principle, women pray like men. For someone to say, men pray like this, women pray like this, they need dalil. We said, if you want to bring something in the religion, an act of worship, you need evidence. To say, women pray with their feet together, and men pray like this, you need dalil. General rule, men and women pray exactly the same, unless you have evidence to say contrary to that. Unless you have evidence to say otherwise, general rule is women and men pray together. For example, this hadith that shows that when women pray, they have to cover, except the face and hands. So there's dalil for that. There's dalil. Next condition?
Type.
Al-jins. Jins ul-amal. Jins means nawa. What does that mean? Give me an example of the type. The act of worship to be considered part of the Sharia has to agree with the type. For example, the udhiyah, the qurban, and you want to offer the sacrifice on Eid time. You have to slaughter an animal according to which class of animal? Al-An'am. There's a whole surah dedicated to this. What surah number? Who knows? That's Nisa.
Six.
No, ahsant. Suratul An'am. An'am, commonly translated as cattle, but what does it include? Cows, sheep, goats, camels. They are considered the animals of the An'am. Therefore, on Qurban time, you have to slaughter one of those. It mentions in your notes, one scholar gave a fatwa one year that you're allowed to slaughter a chicken. He said that, why? To make it easy on the people because chickens aren't as expensive. But that's making things hard on people because the Sharia is easy. If you don't have enough money for Qurban, do you have to do it? No. Alhamdulillah. We said this deen is a deen of ease. If you don't have wealth for Qurban or Hajj or Zakah, you don't have to pay it, Habibi. Why make things hard on the people? So that fatwa is rejected because it goes against the Sharia. Sacrifice has to be in accordance with the Sharia. Therefore, on Udhiyah time, you can't go, you know, I want to sacrifice cockroaches. I'm going to slaughter them all, exterminate them in my house. Get pest control. Yalla, that I've done my Udhiyah. I slaughtered cockroaches. SubhanAllah. No. But you'll be surprised. There are some people who go to extremes and go, why can't I do that? Why can't I? Now, the sixth condition is not in your notes. It's sabab. Sabab, the cause, the reason. Sabab, cause. Ma sababu dhalik, what's the cause? What's the reason? In other words, why are you doing this action? What's the cause for it? For example, someone comes to the masjid and before they sit down, they pray two units. What's the cause for that prayer? What's the reason? Tahiyatul masjid. Good, the greeting of the masjid. There's dalil for that. But every time you enter your house, you pray two units. No, there's no reason to do that. Therefore, that's an innovation. So if there's no basis for it, there's no cause, no reason for you to do that act, then don't do it. There has to be a cause behind it. That's sabab. And with that, we end the hadith. There are other notes and inshallah ta'ala, it goes on to mention some other conditions like what about if you're doing an act of worship? For example, you pray in a house that is stolen. Is that considered bid'ah? It goes on to mention things like that, practical examples. No. Because the Prophet ﷺ didn't specify that in specific. He didn't specify that in specific. So therefore, the prayer is accepted, but that house being stolen is haram, for example. So it goes on. Well, now a person may ask, finally, what about bid'ah hasana? Have you heard that before? Bid'ah hasana and bid'ah sayyi'ah. Good bid'ah, bad bid'ah. We don't believe in good and bad bid'ah. All innovations in the deen, we're not talking about dunya, as we said. To invent in the dunya is fine. To invent phones, to invent speakers, to invent cars, planes, trains, no problem. Knock yourself out. But don't make up things in the religion. It's perfect. So there's no such thing as good bid'ah, bad bid'ah. Because Rasulullah, every Jum'ah, what would he say? Wa kulla bid'atin dalala. Every kull, he said. Every bid'ah is dalala, misguidance. Wa kulla dalalatin fannar. And every misguidance is in the fire. No such thing as good and bad.
Is it different opinion on all of them, or for hellfire?
Okay, now what does it mean they're in the fire? It doesn't mean every person who practices bid'ah is going to be cooked like a chicken in the hereafter. It means they are under the threat of punishment depending on the bid'ah. There's different types of bid'ah. There's bid'ah kufriya, they're the worst, take you outside the fold of Islam. There's bid'ah for the kaba'ir, major sins that are bid'ah. And there's bid'ah which is yani, small, minor sins. Yeah, they're small. And what is an act of worship? Anything that you do trying to get closer to Allah. Like we said, Mawlid al-Nabi. People do that thinking they're getting closer to Allah. But Rasulullah didn't do it. Why should we do it? Isn't it sufficient for us what was sufficient for them? Of course. Abu Bakr said, إِنَّنِي مُتَّبِعْ وَلَسْتُ بِمُبْتَدِعْ I'm a follower, I'm not an innovator. Rasulullah would fast every Monday. He wouldn't dance and sing once a year. So if they really wanted to follow the sunnah, they'd fast.
So we use, like, for example, a microphone in prayer. Some people say that's a
good question. So using a microphone in prayer. We said, what is an act of worship? That deed in of itself is getting you closer to Allah. So the prayer we know gets you closer to Allah. But using the microphone, that's not considered a bid'ah. Why? Because the reward is not in using the microphone. That's part of the worldly things. We've used the microphone to make the voice of the imam louder and amplified so other people can hear. That is it. That is it. So the reward is not in of itself.
It's a bid'ah dunyawiyya.
La bas.
The dots and the
area. Yeah, exactly. So we said an act of worship becomes an act of worship when we said it complies with these things and you are getting closer to Allah via that deed. So it's not as if the reward lies in the microphone. Now, when a person believes that using the microphone gets you more rewards, that's the bid'ah. But to invent something to help you for your deen is no problem. The proof is in the sunnah. Rasulullah would give khutbah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, next to this date palm. One day, what did the sahaba do? They built for him a little pulpit, a little minbar. So he used it. Why? So he can stand up on it and he can see the people. It'll be easier. So that's helping him in his deen. It wasn't used, that is going to give you more rewards. Would you like a break? You're entitled to one.
It's an extra mark for our
Khalas, have a 5-minute, 10-minute break. Grab something to eat.